Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Getting Spooky with Nox. I am your host, Nox, and today we're back with a new Mythological Monsters episode on zombies. Don't ask me what possessed me to do this, since I am terrified of zombies, but here we are. I don't know what it is about zombies that made me terrified of them, but I've always had this irrational fear of the dead rising up and trying to eat me. Every time I'd go visit my grandfather's grave as a kid with my mom, I would want to leave as soon as possible. Cemeteries, although often seen as peaceful places, give me the creepy crawlies. And when I tried thinking about where this irrational fear came from, I ran through a list of things. Scooby-Doo Zombie Island, which did terrify me and still does kind of scare me to this day. The Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy. It's a Disney movie. There was a crypt scene that was really scary and freaky to me. And the funny thing is, the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney World, the last time I was there, I was probably 9 years old, was my favorite ride. That and the Pirates of the Caribbean. And I also had this thought. Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, scared me as a kid too when the crewmates that stole the gold came on and, you know, they were in the moonlight and you could see what they really looked like. Scared me half to death. Hated it. So maybe it's not zombies. Maybe it's just dead things that come back to life in general. But like the zombies have the added effect of eating people. So maybe it's just dead things that come back to life that scare me. I don't know. Then there was Resident Evil, which I've never actually watched, but that's technically a lie. I did start watching Resident Evil. I got like 10 minutes in, had to call it quits. But when I was a kid, I would walk in on him watching it and I hated it. It scared me. I'd like turn around and walk right back out. But then it hit me. None of those are my zombie fearing origin story. The true origin story is Nightmare Creatures for the Nintendo 64, it doesn't have a CD that you would like pop in like the newer PlayStations do. It had cartridges. And if the cartridges didn't work, that is a hard word for me to say for some reason today. If the cartridges didn't work, you'd have to like blow on them to get them to work. And then you pop them in and you play. I have not played on the Nintendo 64 in a very long time because ours broke and no longer works. I think we can like get it started, but none of the games want to work. And I honestly miss playing some of those games. I had so much fun on this Nintendo 64. I really miss it. If you don't know what Nightmare Creatures is, then let me read you a synopsis, which I retrieved from Wikipedia. Quote, the story behind Nightmare Creatures draws upon gothic horror elements of the 19th century and begins in 1666 when a devil-worshipping cult called the Brotherhood of Hecate were conducting sinister experiments in London so as to take over the city and then the world. The Brotherhood tried to develop an elixir that would endow them with superhuman powers. However, rather than creating their intended superhumans, their experiments instead created grotesque monsters called Nightmare Creatures. When they decided to use these creatures as an army of conquest, one of their members, Samuel Pepys, which I hope I'm saying that right, I'm not entirely sure, but we continue, set their headquarters on fire, resulting in the first Great Fire of London. The game takes place in 1834 when London falls victim to several evil occurrences. Monster sightings are reported along with news of people mutating into ungodly creatures, and that the dead are awaking from their graves and walking among the living. All of London is in a panic and vulnerable to the schemes of Adam Crawley, a mad scientist and occultist enlisting the help of the Brotherhood. A book is dropped off at the home of Ignatius Blackward, a priest and occult expert. He finds it is the lost diary of Samuel Pepys, which contains the Brotherhood's research. Knowing he needs help, Ignatius sends the diary to a renowned American immunologist named Dr. John Franciscus of New Orleans, who shows up with his daughter, Nadia Franciscus. With the doctor murdered and the book stolen, Ignatius and Nadia are at his funeral where they are approached by a man who gives them a note reading, "Know about Adam Crawley, Brotherhood of Hecate, HVHJ. Ignatius and Nadia head out to an address listed on the note, hoping to seek out Crawley and neutralize the monsters. So yeah, I remember my dad playing that when I was a kid, and I would be sitting beside him, terrified, out of my mind, but unable to look away. And I think that was my first real taste of undead creatures, and where I started kind of fearing them. And I think Scooby-Doo Zombie Island is kind of like what pushed me more so over the edge. Because I always remember being super terrified of that movie as a child. So those two things, I would say, are the main effects of me being terrified of the undead now, even as an adult. And let me just say, the public's fascination with zombies has not waned at all. The first movie about zombies was White Zombie, which was released in 1932. I actually own this movie. I got it in a 50-pack of classic horror films, but I haven't watched it yet. The old black and white films don't bother me as much because, well, let's face it, their graphics and things weren't up to par with what we have now, but that's not their fault. The movie industry has come a long way since then. Now there are a plethora of books, movies, and TV shows about them. Here are a list of some zombie movies. Resident Evil, World War Z, Train to Busan, which I actually had to stop watching. It has a sequel called Peninsula. And I think Train to Busan is on Netflix, but don't quote me on that. It's been a while, and I think I saw it a couple months ago. It might be on another streaming service, or it might not. I'm not entirely sure myself, but if you want to check those out, you can probably go online and find them somewhere on like a streaming service and whatnot. Then there's Zombieland, which my dad wants me to watch these because he says they're more funny than scary. The Dead Don't Die, which I actually really liked because I love Adam Driver, and it was more comical than scary. So I think that's the thing. If it's more comical than scary, I'm okay with like zombies. But if it's solely intended to be scary, I'm out. I can't do it. Warm Bodies, which is a romance, and I loved it. Again, not really focused on the scare aspect. It's more focused on the romance. Zombies, which is a Disney Channel movie that I have not seen, nor do I plan to see. And then here are some TV shows. iZombie, The Walking Dead, which I've seen most of The Walking Dead, and I only watched it because I could hear my dad watching it, and I got curious, and I kept asking him questions, and he said if I wanted to know, I had to watch it. Glenn is my favorite character, and yes, I know what happens. Kingdom, which is a Korean TV show, and Z Nation. Books with zombies. World War Z by Max Brooks. Warm Bodies by Isaac Marion. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies by Seth Graham Smith. This was also turned into a movie. Alice in Zombieland by Gina Showalter. It's a retelling of Alice in Wonderland. And Something Strange and Deadly by Susan Denard, which I own and have read. It's actually a pretty good book. And you're probably sitting there thinking, okay, Knox, you have said repeatedly that zombies scare you, and yet you've seen and read books with zombies in them. And here's my thing. If it catches my interest, I'm gonna want to check it out because I'm curious by nature. I want to see things. Two, if it's not scary, I'm pretty much okay. Like, The Dead Don't Die wasn't scary, so I could handle that. I knew what I was getting into. I'd seen the previews, I'd seen the trailers. I thought it looked fine. I started watching it. I knew I was fine. Train to Busan and Resident Evil, which I said I did start. I knew they were purely scary, and I knew going into that I might not be able to handle it, and that was okay. And I wasn't able to handle it, so I opted to stop watching it. And that's the thing about content. If you go in and you start watching something and you don't like it, you don't have to sit there and force yourself to watch it. You can actively turn it off and choose not to participate in it. And I think a lot of people kind of don't think like that. Like, you start watching, you're like, okay, well, I've wasted 10 minutes already on this movie, I'm gonna finish it. That's not me. If I don't like something, I'm not gonna force myself to watch it all the way through. I have done that in the past, but for my sanity with these movies, I just said, I'm done. I'm not participating in this anymore. And a lot of people don't think like that, I don't think. I've known like a lot of people that have said, yeah, I force myself to finish it. I'm like, but why? Why would you put yourself through that? If it wasn't good, or if it was something that you didn't want to partake in, why did you force yourself to do this? So that's my whole thing. That's my like soapbox moment. Like, hey, if you don't like it, don't watch it. Don't participate in it. But that's me. Like, if I see something that I think I'll like, even if it has something that I don't like in it, like zombies, I'm still going to check it out if I think it looks good. And then if it turns out to be something that I didn't think it was going to be, I can stop watching it. And as I've mentioned in my Werewolf and Vampire episodes, the mythos for zombies shifts and evolves to fit the narrative of a storyteller. The most common factor about zombies is that if they bite you, you will turn into a zombie as well. They tend to be seen as rotting corpses that have reanimated and crave human flesh or brains. In the old days, zombies were sometimes seen crawling out of graves as the dead suddenly reanimated. Now it is described as a virus that turned people, especially once they died or were bitten. The way to destroy a zombie is through destroying its brain. One thing that is really interesting in this webtoon called Rebirth by Michi, check it out, it's so good. Go to Line Webtoon to find it. You can either go online or through the app, and it updates on Wednesdays. It's currently in its second season, and no, this is not sponsored. I just really love this comic. The zombie apocalypse started because of an eclipse, and some people turned into the undead and others didn't. And yes, animals can become undead in this webtoon as well. Some of the survivors even have powers, but not everyone. And here's the official synopsis for it. Quote, "What would you do if you were given a second chance to turn back time and relive your past? Would you do what you did back then for fear of the butterfly effect? Or would you take a different course of action and let the future speak for itself?" And what I find out interesting about that is, one, it's got like a time travel aspect. And once again, you're probably like, again, you say you hate zombies and you're still consuming zombie media. The thing about Rebirth, though, is that there's not really a focus on the zombies. They're there. You see them from time to time. They're scary. They're freaky. They're not, well, actually, let me take that back. They're not really that scary because it's not overly graphic. So I think that's good because, you know, like movies and TV shows and stuff, they have all that makeup and they can make it look as gory as they want. Rebirth isn't really gory or graphic, so I can handle it more. It's more so when it's like really graphic that I need to take a step back and be like, I can't do this. But I think it's really interesting how the author Michi has taken popular culture in this way with the zombies and twisted it and turned it into their own story and their own take on these creatures. I really applaud Michi for this because it's so well done and I really enjoy this comic. It's great. And again, not sponsored. In Train to Busan, the zombie outbreak was caused by a leak from a chemical plant at the very beginning of the movie. You see a deer get hit by a truck and then reanimated as a zombie. Not a fun thought when you think about animals being able to turn, because I mean, that's just like another added element to zombies. Like let's say the zombie apocalypse started. Normally, like in TV shows and stuff, like in The Walking Dead, I've never seen an animal reanimate. Now, that doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. I've just never personally seen it, or maybe I just missed it completely. But it's scary to think about like animals turning into zombies and turning against you, because at least if you don't have to worry about animals turning into zombies, that's one less thing you have to be afraid of. But like, could you imagine seeing a squirrel and then like having to outrun that little monster? Like, I don't want to think about my animals turning into zombies. I don't want to think about wildlife turning into zombies. I'd rather just have to deal with people. And another interesting thing, I just thought of this. I think zombies was kind of a take on the general public with like, you know, when like Black Friday comes, people just kind of like descend and kind of just, it was a take on like capitalism, I believe. I read somewhere that zombies was like a take on capitalism, which was an interesting thought because it is kind of like this zombie mentality of like when the pandemic started and people were trying to get toilet paper because everybody was panic buying it. There was this video going around that this person had edited zombie sounds on. These people descended upon this poor worker who was bringing out like a fresh load of toilet paper. And it did. It really did remind me of a zombie horde descending upon their prey, their victim, and getting what they could. So there's just different things to like consider with zombies, like animals turning, and then how it's kind of like a metaphor for modern day consumerism and things like that, which I thought was a pretty interesting take. And did you know that there have been quote unquote actual zombie cases before? It happened in Florida in Miami. A man named Rudy Eugene attacked a homeless man and tried to eat him. He was shot and killed by the police as a result of this. They tried to get Rudy to stop, And when he didn't, he would growl at him and things like that. And he would just continue trying to eat this man. They had to use force. The man that Rudy attacked was Ronald Popo, and he survived the attack. Police are unsure what caused Rudy to go into the state. Many thought that maybe it was drugs, but the only thing they found in his system was marijuana. And we may never know why he decided to attack Ronald. And I'm going to pass this question off to you. If you woke up in the zombie apocalypse, could you survive? Well, there's actually a way you can find out. There's a mall in the United Kingdom that has been turned into a zombie attraction. Here you can go and see if you could survive the zombie apocalypse. And they hand out weapons. They're not real. So it's probably more like paintball guns or like laser tag type things. And they set you loose in this mall and you get to see if you can survive the zombies. I personally would not do this at all. I would start crying. So I'm not going anywhere near this mall. If you wanted something a little less dramatic, then you can check out the Walking Dead attraction in the Hollywood Universal Studios. On this, you just walk through different places and there are jump scares. So people dressed up as zombies, animatronics that look like zombies. You start off in a hospital like Rick did in the show. I saw a video on it, so I could kind of like see the different places and things like that. So I would not be able to do either one of these things, because if I did the one in Hollywood, and even if I did the one in the UK, I would curl up in the fetal position on the floor and begin crying, and they would have to lead me out like a side exit. I would not be able to handle it. So that is a no for me. But if you think this is something that you would like to do, maybe after the pandemic, totally check it out. Sounds like a fun time. If you go on YouTube, you can also find videos explaining the best places to go in a zombie apocalypse and the pros and cons of those places. People have come up with survival tips and info to help in case the dead start coming back to life. And I like watching these videos just because they're interesting to kind of like see people's mindsets and the way they think if something like this were to happen. And plus, it is kind of interesting to think about. Like, I know logically the zombie apocalypse is probably never going to happen. But if it does, it's kind of helpful to know, like, what are the best places to go in said apocalypse? Like, where would I be safest? Because I am getting out of wherever I am and going somewhere where I am least likely going to run into a zombie. I'm going to have my food, my medicine, my whatever I need, and I'm just going to go off to a safe place and hope I never have to deal with a zombie unless it is, like, a dire situation. So, but that's something that you can do. There's like a ton of videos on it. You can just probably search zombie apocalypse survival tips and places like that. And you can come up with like answers and all. Did you know that zombies can be found in Haitian folklore? They say that when a corpse is reanimated using necromancy, whoever reanimated the corpse could control it. So it basically becomes a mindless slave to the necromancer. The belief was actually used in an episode of Scooby-Doo, season 1, episode 13, titled Which Witch Is Which? Of course, the witch and the zombie were just two people in masks, but it was more than likely taken from Haitian folklore because it is an idea that they have in Haiti. And in the movie Warm Bodies, zombies are kind of smart. The male lead R has thoughts and he tries to talk to his friend. Soon he finds Juliet and he falls in love with her as the movie progresses and she with him. He even starts eating the brain of her human boyfriend to try and get his memories and like his emotions and things. And to me, that was an interesting plot device in my opinion because it made me think that they were eating the brains to gain those human emotions back, like R was doing. Once they lost their humanity, though, they turned into bonies, and the bonies are basically zombies that are now more bone-like. They're fast. They're incredibly mean. You don't want to run into a bony. iZombie, and anybody else think of iCarly when they read the title because it kind of like is a play on iCarly in my opinion and my thoughts and everything. Probably it might not be, but to me, that's just the first thing I think of. But iZombie is about a woman who is turned into a zombie at a party. She, however, tries to hide it and soon learns that when she eats the brains of people that come into the morgue where she works, she gets their memories and she uses that to her advantage. In those two, they're the only ones that I know of that if a zombie eats a brain, they get the memories of the person they are snacking on and they get those emotions back. And I thought it was interesting because it would explain why they like to eat brains if that's the angle you're going for. Zombies are not just mindless creatures, but they're trying to recapture their humanity again. And that kind of, I think in itself, is a sad thought. Like, these zombies aren't mindless. They just want to feel things again. On The Walking Dead, they are shown as mindless beings that are merely after one thing, human flesh. There is no rhyme or reason behind it. And I think it's a bit more interesting to have that I want to get my feelings back angle. And it makes it a bit more sad, and it adds this element to these stories that it's like, well, this is why the zombies are doing what they're doing. I get it that, though, that doesn't really make it as scary. It's just, oh, they just want to eat people. But I think it is an interesting plot device and an interesting way of telling a story. So that's just my two cents. I like that idea a lot. As a storyteller myself, you know, it's different. It's interesting. It's new. It's fresh. I like it. But why are zombies so fascinating to people? I ask myself this all the time. I just want to know why, there for a while, they sprung to popularity, because it came out of left field to me. It seemed like there was a new zombie movie or show or book every week. It was like the vampire trend right after Twilight that hit in the YA genre, or dystopian novels after The Hunger Games. And I'm going to pass this question on to you as well. Would you want zombies to be a thing? For me, it is a big no. I used to have this irrational fear that I would wake up and the zombie apocalypse would have started. I still have nightmares about zombies, and out of all the creatures I would want to be a thing, zombies aren't even on my list. And that's all I have for you on zombies. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to request a mythological monsters, paranormal event, true crime, urban legends, secret societies, or conspiracy theories episode, then you can email me at getspookywithme@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter at SpookyNox. Hit me up on Facebook, Knox Productions, or through my website, which is linked in both my Twitter and Facebook profiles. Next week is our once per season episode on secret societies, and I'll be talking about Skull and Bones. I hope y'all have a great week, and I'll talk to y'all next time. Bye.